Let's start with prayer. Dear Lord, first of all, I want to thank you so much for this day, and thank you so much for blessing me and everyone else here with another wonderful day of life. Lord, I want to pray that everyone here can open up their hearts to your Holy Spirit, that when I'm speaking up here, that it's not me speaking, that it's you speaking to the Holy Spirit that they have opened up to their hearts. May everyone leave here touched and a new person, because they've discovered something new about your character. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. So, I'm actually going to start with a song. I will not be singing it. So just like take it with a grain of salt and also pay attention to the lyrics.
Thank you.
based on the lyrics of that song and looking at it in the light of what is sin, what do you think sin is? Do I have any suggestions? Anyone? No? Okay. So is what I got from it is that, well, I didn't get this from it. I see this in it. I see that sin is a mindset that separates you from God. You see, in 1 John 3:4, it says, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. Lawlessness is a mindset. And that mindset is what tears you away from God. So I was thinking about how I'm going to demonstrate this, and I was like, well, Adam and Eve, well, let's think back to the first sin of humanity. Adam and Eve simply thought that God's law was not the best for them. They took the devil's mindset as their own. They took thoughts that say, hey, man, you know what's best. You're a big boy now. You can make your own decisions. You know that God, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Nothing will ever go wrong. Let me tell you about a time that I thought that. So how many of you guys have, I know a lot of you guys went to the mission trip to Kenya. So you know what I'm talking about when I say the hippo ponds. Do you guys remember that place? Oh, Miss Bench does, so that's good. So basically, the hippo ponds is like a cliff, a steep hill, a river bend, and hippos. That's what it is. And on the steep hill and on the cliff, there's a lot of hippo trails. Now, how many of you know what a hippo looks like? Everyone should raise their hand because that's kindergarten. So you know how hippos are really, really big? You think that their tracks are really big too, right? Well, in reality, hippos like walk like that. So their tracks are like that. And they're like everywhere. They're winding, just like that. And so when the hippo trails like do that, wow, the people who listen to this recording are going to be so lost. When the hippo trails do that, you see you got a dirt mound here and a dirt mound there, right? Right? You guys follow me? All right, so my little child mind, I was like, dude, a dirt mound, a gap in between it, another dirt mound, the gap is lava. Woo, fun and games, because I didn't want to look at hippos. They're fat, like me. So I was jumping from dirt mound to dirt mound. I was like, la-di-di-di-da-di-da. And then my dad looks at me. He's like, Caleb, stop. I was like, okay. Then he turns around to go back and look at the hippos. And in my little mind, I was like, you know what? I'm 11. I'm a big boy now. I can make my own decisions. My daddy don't know what he's talking about. I'm going to show him. I'm going to jump to the farthest one. That's what I'm going to do. So I see the dirt mound, running all the calculations through my mind, get the win, you know. And I'm winding up for the jump. And apparently, it's a lot farther than I thought it was. I now know that I struggle with depth perception. So I was like winding up for the jump. And I jumped with everything that I had. And my little 11-year-old body was not as large as it is now. So I kind of flew. And so I hit the mound like this on the other side of it. And my feet went up as well as my breath. It was like. And so I was there like, oh, come back. So basically, my dad looks at me, he's like, you're dumb. Like, I told you not to do that. Basically, the moral of this story is that I had a mindset, and that ended up getting me hurt. And that mindset, I believe, is sin. But you see, is what's scary is that mindset can come from a lot of different things. Now, we all know the basic sins, right? We have lying, we have murder, we have cheating, we have adultery, we have coveting, we have lust, we have greed, we have sloth, we have pride. Not the kind of sloth you're thinking about, Sydney. Sloth is basically means just utter laziness. Guilty of that one. I want to try another path for a second. So if sin is separation from God, if sin distracts you,
If sin distracts you from the true fulfillment that God wants for your life, then can something not necessarily bad be considered a sin? Think with me towards school. Now, disclaimer. The next few sentences are not intended as offense towards any party or people. So I love you teachers. A's. So schooling is meant to better your brain. It's meant to prepare you for the world beyond. It's meant to prepare you for college so that you can go and get that education, you can go and get that money, and you can support a family, you can get what you want. School is a good thing. But might it be possible to get too involved in school? Think for a second to those times when you have a lot of homework, you have a vocabulary packet, House of the Seven Gables sentences. I mean, like, you have a test. Mr. Hallam, I love you. You have a test. You have a quiz. You know, you're just completely swamped. Your girlfriend just broke up with you. You know, everything is going wrong in your life. And you're like, man, I'm just so stressed right now. And you look at your Bible and you're like, you know, God understands. See, he went through everything that people went through. Ellen White said that. So he went through what I'm going through now. So he would understand if I missed this one devotional, you know, just this one. See, the problem with that is the stress never goes. The work never goes. The emotional instability never goes. God is the one that takes that away. So if you say, it's okay, God, you just wait here for a second, I'll be back, you're not really going to come back, are you? See, the work just keeps on piling. The stress just keeps on piling. And soon enough, that one devotional turns into three. Those three devotional turns into seven. And then the next thing that you know, you haven't touched your Bible in months, and you wonder why you're emotionally vacant. But I'm not stopping there. Consider our phones. Now, phones were meant for good, right? They were meant to better communication. They were meant to bring enlightenment and knowledge to this world that desperately needs it. But do you think for a second that device that you hold in your hands can be a distraction from God, the one who is supposed to give you enlightenment and knowledge? That night when God was asking you, was calling you to read his word, and you're sitting there on your phone and you're just like, you know, I know this is you asking me to read your word, and I know this because I've done this. As a matter of fact, this happened to me last night. I was sitting there, and my Bible was right there. I was like, you know, God, I know you're calling me to read your word. I know you're calling me to open up the Bible and see what you have in store for my life. But this Instagram post is pretty cool. This new Snapchat filter, gotta check it out, you know? Gotta keep with the times. These vacant and fleeting pleasures, I'm going to choose over you. What about those times when you are so devoted to that one girl or to that one guy that you'd swim across stormy seas for their love and acceptance, but you won't touch the 807,361 word love letter addressed from the King of the Universe to you? What about when, instead of reading the book that is filled with the greatest stories on earth of which all are true and can change your life if you let them? What about if instead of reading that book, when your eyes become glued onto a screen with irrelevant and unthought out, plot hole filled, unsatisfying pleasures? But I hear the parts of your hearts, I hear the part of my heart saying, You know, are these things really, really sin? I hear the part of my heart saying, are these video games really a sin? Is that one girl really a sin? Well, to be honest, no. To some extent, these things aren't really sins, but it's what I have let them become to me that makes it a sin. I have let them become idols to me, things that I put in place of God, and that changes my mindset. See, with video games, I have let it become a sin, an idol, if you will. In the past, I have let that special someone become a force that tears me away from God, a sin, an idol. I have chosen my phone, a useless piece of junk compared to the God, the King of the Universe, over him. I've told God that I know better for my life. I have seen his plans. And like Jonah, I have ran in the opposite direction and said no. I've let minuscule worldly things build walls of self-worship around my heart so that even the God of the universe can't come in. I have sinned. Is what I'm saying is that these meaningless pleasures, these meaningless and unfulfilling addictions that have overtaken my life have become my idols. They have become something that stands in between my Savior, my God, and I. Friends, I stand in front of you today facing the same struggles you faced. I don't stand in front of you saying that I'm perfect, but instead telling you that you are not the only one who struggles. Every day, you and I, we both wake up with a choice. We look ourselves in the mirror and we ask ourselves, is today the day that a change is made? Is today the day that I put down these dumb distractions, these stupid sins? Is today the day that I finally address that one addiction that I know is tearing me apart from you? Is today the day that I look at my idols and say no more? You no longer have the place of God in my life. And is today the day that I let God come into my life and change me for the better? Our theme verse, Deuteronomy 30, 15, and I forgot to look it up right before this, so I'm going off memory, says, I've set before you a choice between death and life, blessings and curses, and I beg of you to choose life. That verse is what I like to do with the Bible a lot, is I like to take the verse and fill in what's happening in my life. The verse to me says, I have set before you the choice between stress and God. I have set before you the choice between money and God. I have set before you the choice between those dirty images and God, these distractions, these counterfeits, these idols and God. Young men, I have set before you that one beautiful and inviting young lady in God. Young women, I've set before you that one muscular and talented boy in God. I have set before you that addiction, that thing that you fight against every single day, that you break free from and find yourself bound to its chains the very next day. I've set before you that addiction and God. I've set before you that anger and God. Whatever it may be, in God, and I beg of you to choose God. I beg of you to choose life. But Caleb, you don't understand. How can I choose life? How can I choose the God that time and time again I look at and say, go away? How can the God that reaches out his hands and says, come and follow me, I have a plan for you, I love you, how can that God accept me if every time he does that, I spit in his face? I was asked one time why I use the metaphor, spit. The way that I see sin is God comes to you and he sticks out his hand. He says, Caleb, I have a plan for you. I want you with me. I love you. Please come with me. And I look at his hand, I look at his face, and I say, go away. I don't want what you're offering. I just spit in his face. I spit in his hand. I disrespect him. I turn my back to him, and I run away. With that in mind, I do that every single day, multiple times a day. Every single day I sin. Every single day I spit in the face of God. With that in mind, how can that God love me? How can when I go to that God and say, I'm laying down these idols for you, how can he accept that? What is that? Imagine if someone spit in your face. What would you do? Punch them? I'd punch them too. To be real. But with that in mind, how can a God that I spit in his face daily accept who I am? Even the Bible in Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, but your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you. Even the Bible's telling me that I'm not good enough. He hates sin. How can he love me? But you see, that's just the thing. He hates sin because he loves me. If sin is separation from God, and God is life, then isn't the logical result of sin loss of life? Separation from life? Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." It's not saying that God says, "All right, you sin, boom, you're dead." No, it's saying the wages of sin, that's if you do sin, that's what it costs. If you separate yourself from the life giver, you separate yourself from life. It's logical. 1 John 3, verse 4 and 8 says, "Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil." Ladies and gentlemen, right there is what it's saying. We sin every day. We spit in the face of God every single day. But he still loves us. He still loves us enough that he sent his only son to die for us. He sent his only son to destroy the sins that we've already committed. So it's like we never even spit in his face, but instead we shook his hand and said, "It's a deal. I'll follow you." 1 John 1, verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." God is calling you. He is saying, "I love you. Come home." He's telling you to examine your life and see those sins, those idols, and lay them down for the one who deserves them. I close with the song. I want you to close your eyes this time and focus on the words of the song.
You say, set the sound on us ablaze. That's the measure you must take to cross the aisles. Turn the pews and all the decorations too, into congregations few and half above. Tell your friends that this is well partying, until you're broken for your sins. Can't be social. Seek the Lord and wait for what he has in store, and know your praise, your rewards, so just be hopeful, cause you can sing all you want to. Yes, you can sing all you want to. Is more than a song. Take a break from all the plans that you've made, and sit at home alone and wait for God to whisper. Beg him please to open up his mouth and speak. Pray for it upon your knees until they blister. Shine a light on every corner of your life until the pride and lust and eyes are in the open. Read the word and put to test the things you've heard until your heart and soul are stirred and rocked and broken. Cause you can. Worship is more than a song. We must not worship. is an idol. Anything I want with all my heart is an idol. And anything I can't stop thinking of is an idol.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, there are things in my life that I know are idols, but I know that there are things in my life that I don't know are idols. I know that there are things in everyone's life who's here, everyone who is listening to this, everyone's lives. We all have idols that we know are idols, but we also have idols that we don't know are idols. Lord, my prayer is that when we leave this place, that you can shine the light on every corner of our life. You may expose those idols to us. But not only that, I pray that you give us the strength to lay them down. Lord, I know that I can't do it on my own. I know that these people here cannot do it on their own. I pray for the strength to see the idols and to crush them, so that you may come into our life and that you may be the only God that we have. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen.